We begin the current daf himself. Let's get in daf chaf. We begin 6 lines down for the tab of the Yomim, where the Gemara continues with a related discussion from the previous daf. And this discussion relates to 2 concepts, actually, that we mentioned. One, on the tab of this Amud, that a get has to be written l'shma. And second of all, a concept that was elaborated on is this idea about ksav al gabi ksav, which is if you wrote something and then you rewrite right on top of those letterings, is that considered a writing or not? So the Gemara continues, Amr Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says the following halacha. Get sheksav shaloi l'shma, a get that was written not for the sake of this woman, just a generic get, happens to have been the same name as him, same name as her, everything is the same, but it wasn't written specifically for her, which we know a get has to be written l'shma, for the sake of this woman and these people. Now, so what they did was, is the hever lov kumas, instead of writing up a whole new get, they already had it already here, but it wasn't written for her name, so instead what you do is you take a quill, and you go over every single letter, and now you're writing it over for the sake of this woman, lishma, for her name. Says Rav Chisda, bonu l'machlokes Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbanan. That would take us, if this get would be valid or not, to a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbanan. The time of learning the Braisa says, hareisha yitzarch lichta b'es Hashem. Someone, let's say, is writing a Sefer Torah, and they ask to write Hashem's name, 4-letter name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, v'niskaven lichta b'Yehuda, but he made a mistake. He didn't realize that he's up to Hashem's name, and he thinks that he has to write the word Yehuda. Now, but actually, as he's writing, he thinks he should be writing Yehuda. As he's writing Yehuda, b'tah, he made an error in his writing of Yehuda, v'lehitl by dalas, and he didn't put in the dalet. So he ended up actually writing Hashem's name because he left out the dalet. The only thing is, it was shaloi l'shma. It was not with the intention of writing Hashem's name, but he did end up writing Hashem's name. So what do you do? Because the Sefer Torah has to be written l'shma too. So on that says the Braisa, Mavr lov kol mis umekacha. What you do is you write over those yud kei vav kei with the intention of now writing Hashem's name, thereby sanctifying it l'shem Hashem's name, and that's valid. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham Maimrim, they disagree. They say no, ein Hashem in amufcho. That's not a preferable name of Hashem, and therefore it's not going to be valid. So essentially, this is the machlekes that Rav Chisda says is going to be pertinent for the same idea of a get, where it was not written l'shma, it was written just in general, then you're writing over those same letters, would that new writing be considered a valid writing l'shma or not? That's the machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, if writing over Hashem's name will be considered a new writing to be considered l'shma, and therefore the same thing would be regarding a get. Now that asks Amar Rav Acha by Yaakov. Rav Acha by Yaakov asks on this comparison of Rav Chisda. He says, Dimalahi, maybe it's not the same machlekes. Because Ad Kan L'Kami Rabban Hasan, maybe only over the other Rabban said that it's Einoi Mufchur, it's not going to be valid to be considered writing Hashem's name, L'shma. Because Ella, that's only D'Be'ina Zekeliv Anveyu. That's because when writing a Sefer Torah or performing of any mitzvahs, you have to fulfill what the Pasuk says in Az Yashar, this is my God and I will beautify him. Meaning to say, as the Gemara Dashans elsewhere, you have to beautify yourself in front of a mitzvah, has to be ideal. Now, Valeka, and you don't have it because it's not ideal. When you wrote it, you didn't write Lishma. Now, when you're writing over, that's not considered Hisnalafon of B'mitzvahs. It's not ideal, and therefore it's not going to be valid. Aval Hachaloi. But here, regarding a get, who said that it's not going to be valid to create an element of Lishma? There, you don't need to have, it's not Hashem's name, it's not his Sefer Torah. It's just the writing of the get, which is not even the mitzvah of get. The mitzvah of Gerushin is actually the delivery of the get. Here, maybe the Rabbanu would agree that actually it would be valid even if you're writing over the same words and you're doing it l'shma. And actually, some Rishonim have an addendum to this, is that where they say the other way around too, that not necessarily is a comparison. Where they say, V'ad kan l'kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam, that we only have Rabbi Yehuda over there, where he says that it is going to be valid, that's elegabe Sefer Torah. That's regarding a Sefer Torah, where you're not executing anything with the Sefer Torah. You just have to make it l'shma. So by writing over, maybe that will be. Aval hacha be'in increases v'leka. But here, by the get, you need it to be something that creates a severance. There, you don't have. Because when it was written, it already took effect in its conceptualization as a non-get. So writing it over, yeah, maybe you're going to be writing it lishma, but that doesn't help anymore because it was already written and it wasn't written as a get creases. So therefore, says Rav Acha b'Yaakov, he disagrees with Rav Chisda regarding the case that he proposed, where it was written shaloi lishma, to write over with a pen, is not necessarily dependent and contingent on this machlikas, as read in the Chachamim, by a Sefer Torah. Now the Gemara continues with another statement from Amar of Chizr. Of Chizr said that Yichilnu lemifsalinu lekule gita de'am. He says, I could invalidate all the gittin that are going on these days that people write. So Amli Rava asked Rav Chizr, my time, what's the reason? Why would you say halachically that you could invalidate and say they're not good gittin? So Rava proposes, he says, if your problem is because the Torah tells us that v'chasav, that the husband has the right to get, v'hacha ihi kokosavale, but we know that the common practice is, that actually, as the Gemara tells us in Baba Basa, Kof Samachesim and Aleph, that the custom was that the woman would actually pay the scribe to write the get. And the reason why we allowed it was because of takana vaguna, because if we have to wait till the husband does it, he's not going to get around to it because he's not interested. And then she's not going to end up getting her get. Custom was that the woman goes ahead and hires so that there's a ready get and she pays for it. Now the problem with that is that then it's not vakasav. He's not writing it. She, through the medium of the scribe, she is writing it. So on that says Rava, what's the problem? V'dilma aknuye aknu le rabbana. Maybe the rabbis acquired the get to the domain of the husband. In other words, that coin, which is coming from her, and she's paying the scribe, maybe the rabbis considered it as if he's giving the coin. How so? She's paying it. Because there's a halachic dictum, it's called hefker bezen hefker. The courts, the Jewish courts, have a right to declare whose money owns whoever they want to. Now, therefore, although she's paying for it, they could consider it, it's not your money, and the money that's by the scribe now is his money. So therefore, what's the problem? Maybe it is considered a kasav. That wouldn't be invalidating. So the Ella rather says, Rava, maybe the reason your problem with all the gittin are, mishum nechsib ben nasan. It says that the husband has to give it to the wife, which means to say that there has to be something that's being given over here. It has to qualify for a gift. Now, what that means to say is it has to be the bare minimum of giving something, which is what's called a shava pruta, worth a pruta. V'hacha lo yov la midi, but our gittin, they're not worth even a penny, not worth a pruta, and he's not giving her anything. And therefore, that maybe is what you're proposing would invalidate every get. And that says, Rabbi, that's not a problem either. Dilma, nesinas geti, when the pasuk says he has to give her, maybe it doesn't mean he has to give her something of value. It's the giving of the get. Teden says, Rabbi, I'll prove this to you. You should know this because the Shalchu Mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael down here to Bavel, that kasavoy alisuri hana, if he writes the get to his wife on something that's forbidden to have pleasure from, there are certain things that are isuri hana, like oral or certain things. Even if he writes the get on isuri hana, they said it's kosher, it's going to be kosher. We're there for sure, there's no value to the get itself. She's not getting anything, any gift of a shava pruta, because whatever there is, you can't even have pleasure from it. And therefore, it says Rava, there's no problem with our gitin, there's no problem in bekasav, because even the courts give the money as considering as coming from the husband. There's no problem with Nasan because she doesn't have to get anything of value. It's getting of the get that's considered Nasan. Now the Gemara says Gufa, just to go back and clarify what was introduced as a proof by Rava, refuting the problem of Rav Chisda, that he said, Shalchu Mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ksave Alisuri Hano Kasher. If the get is written on something that's forbidden to have pleasure from, it's still a Kasher get. Now Amr Avashi, Avashi says, Afanan Namitinina. We also learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that you could write a get on everything, including ala ala shal zayis, on the leaf of an olive, where the leaf of an olive is not worth anything. It's not worth a shava pruta. And still, we see you could write a get on that. So you see that you don't have to be giving anything. The get doesn't have to be able to have any value of pleasure. So that the Gemara refutes the proof. Dilma shani ala shal zayis. No, maybe a leaf of an olive tree is different because at least the chazal it's tarufe. It's worthy of combining, meaning if you take a lot of olive leaves, there's some value to it because you could lay down in it then, or you could use it for animal feed, where although each one's not worth a shava pruta, but at least it's worth something that when you combine it, it could have a value of a pruta. But that wouldn't prove to the case that was shalchu mitam of isuri hana, where you could have a billion of them, it's still not worth anything because each one you can't have pleasure from, and therefore there's no proof to their halacha from our Mishnah. Now, however, continuing on this halacha that they sent from Eretz Yisrael, so to Tanya Lutin Lebraisa, Rebbe said, Kesavay alisura no kasher, he says clearly in Tanoik support that if you write on something that's forbidden to have pleasure from, it's still going to be kasher. Now, Nafik Levi, so Levi went out, Drasha Mishmeid Rebbe, and he went on and he lectured in the name of Rebbe, which was quoted in this Braisa, that Isura no, it's okay, you could write such a get to the wife. Now, Voloi Kulsua. But the people didn't praise the halacha that he was saying because he said it over in the name of an individual Tana, which was Rebbe, and the halacha doesn't necessarily follow a Tana that's a Yachid. Now, another time he lectured on this halacha, and he said it over Mishmei Derabim in the name of the public, meaning in the name of the masses of the Talmidei Chachamim, because he wanted people to accept what he was saying. And for Klusu, and they praised it, because, oh, okay, so then that's the halacha. If all the sages agree to this, then that's the halacha. Now, says the Gemara, Alma, what we see from this is, from the fact that Levi went through the great effort to have the populace accept this halacha of Rebbe, that must be Hilchas HaKavod, say the halacha falls like Rebbe, again, that we said, that even if you write it on something that's Isur Hanah, it's going to be kosher. Now, continuing on these halachas of writing the get, Tan Rabbanu learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk tells us, V'chasav lo sefer krisis. He has to write for her sefer krisis. What that excludes is V'loi chakak. But not if that it was engraved in, let's say, a tablet with using a knife. That's not considered writing. That's called engraving. That's not going to be valid for writing a get. Now, the Gemara asks on this, L'memer de chakika lav ksivahi. Is that really so? Is this to say that engraving is not considered writing? But for a minute, we'll ask from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Evet Shayatza, regarding a slave that went free, had to go free, what was his shtar shich or his document of emancipation? Was Biksav Shalgabi Tavla, with writing that's on a board, or Upinkas, or on a tablet, for example, like those which are used by merchants or by priests, where they carve in with their pen. So Yatza Lecheris, so then he goes free. Avol, however, loy biksav shagabi kippa, but this is not going to work with writing that's embroidered on top of a cap, which women wear this type of a woolen cap that they put under their head kerchief, as the Gemara explains this on Shabbos, Daf Nun Zayin Mabez, where what we're talking about over here is that they would have a woven woolen cap, and if it was woven in, embroidered a get of a woman, or a get cheres of an eved, in the cap, that they wrote the letters of the get embroidered into that cap, or the anduchtari, or if they did the same on this ornament, which was embroidered with with a type of a needle. So if they embroidered the letters of a get, that's not going to be considered writing. And the reason being is because it's not a permanent type of a writing, because what they did with this lettering was it just was draped across the garment or this ornament, and the ends of that string were just tucked in. So that's not considered full-fledged writing. So that wouldn't be considered a valid get. But what we see from the Braisa clearly is that, but on the tablet or a board which has to be engraved, that is considered a valid get shichur. So you see that engraving is considered writing because the halachas of get shichur is the same as a get isha, which needs to be written. And here we see that engraving is considered writing. So Amar Ula Amar Reb Elazar, he says, Loi Kasha. It's not a difficulty, it's not a contradiction in these two braises. Ha, the first braise that was saying clearly that writing excludes engraving, is talking about the Chok Toiches, which is that what happens is that the sides of the letters are what gets engraved. And then by default, the letterings are sticking out, but not because you created and formed those letters. It's just because when you depress the area around those letters, so what was on the board beforehand remains as it was. That's not considered any writing. You just, by taking away what's around it, you're leaving the words around there. That's not v'chasa. Ha, the second braisa was talking about the chok yureches, where there the leg of the letter itself was being depressed. Where there you're depressing those letterings itself, that's a form of writing. Writing doesn't have to be on the top. It could be in pushing down too. So that's the difference. Engraving, if you're engraving the letters themselves, that's going to be writing. The first braisa that was excluding depressing, that was excluding engraving, is if you engrave around the letter and then you just the letter is left there by default, that's not considered a writing because it's an indirect way. You're not forming the letter itself. Now, however, on this interpretation of Reb Elazar, the Gemara asks, V'toichai loy, is that really true that doing this in this indirect way of depressing the area around the letter, that that's not going to be considered writing? But V'rimino, well, that's contradicted by the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Loy hoyo kesavoy, the writing of the letters of the tzitz, which was this headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, was not sheikeya, wasn't depressed. They didn't engrave the names of Kodesh Lashem into the headplate. Rather, it was sticking out. like the lettering of Kedin Rezav, like the lettering of a golden dinner, where there the letters stick out. That's how the lettering was by the headplate of the Kohen Gadol. Now the question is, but we see that there's a comparison. They're saying that the headplate of the Kohen Gadol, the tzitz, was the same as golden coins. Now Vadin Rezav Toichai, saying, however, the way the golden coins are made with the lettering, the images there are sticking out, is done in a way where you actually depress the areas around those words. Because the Gemara's assumption right now is that when the way they would form the lettering and the images on the golden coins was they would take an image where you have the flat coin itself, which is a golden coin, and then you have an image which is being impressed upon that coin, and they take a hammer and knock that image onto the coin itself. Now, the assumption of the Gemara now is that actually the image itself in the form that's going into the gold is actually the image is pulled back in that die. It's not going to be pushing into the coin. What's pushing down from the hammer knocking it in is actually the area around that image, but the form itself, the letterings are not being knocked down. They're just going to remain as it is because what's being knocked down into it, this die, is pulled back on those letters. Now, the thing is that by the tzitz, the Pasuk tells us in Shemais Lamates, it's michtav petuchei chaysam. It's considered writing. Now, if you're considering the writing of the letters of the tzitz, what you're saying is done the same way as golden coins. Golden coins are chok toichais, where you're not actually making the letters. They're just remaining there because you're pushing down everything else around those letters. So if you're saying chok toichais is the same thing that you do by the tzitz, but the tzitz is considered writing. But you, Rabbi Elazar, just said the chok toichais is not considered writing. So now the Gemara answers, no. When the Braisa says that the tzitz was like din rezav, it's kid din rezav, it's like golden coins, but v'loike din rezav, but not totally like golden coins. As the Gemara explains, kid din rezav de boilet. When we said it's like golden coins, meaning, as the Braisa was actually specifying, meaning it's not depressed, it's not pushed in the letters, but rather like golden coins where the lettering are sticking out. But v'loike din rezav, it's not totally like golden coins. The ilo hasam teiches, because yes, as we explained, whereas by coins, where there the letters are formed only by depressing the area around the letters, hacha yireches, however over here by the tzitz, that's not exactly as it was. Here actually the lettering itself was engraved in, and the reason is, as the Gemara will explain the Amud Beis, because the tzitz was a very thin plate, and what happened is that they would engrave the lettering from the other side of the plate, and thus push through, and they stick out from the other side. So you are forming the letters directly by engraving. Now, although they're not depressed, and that's what the Bryce was actually trying to explain, that they're not depressed, but actually they stick out because it was from the other side that you push. So you, by pushing in, it sticks out on the other side. So that is forming it itself. So that's chok yireches, which is when you create the letter itself, and not chok toiches. Now, however, what the Gemara assumed in this discussion, in reconciling Rabbi Elazar's interpretation, actually is a discussion in the coming Gemara. Amali Ravina Ravashi. Ravina asked Ravashi, he says, Reishma, this signet that creates the coins, again, what we said is what this die that pushes in, what you knock in with a hammer, pushes into the gold coin that creates the letters and the images in the coins. Question that he asked him was, Mechritz Charetz? What is it? How does it work? Does it depress the area around the letter, and then what ends up happening is that since that's pushing everything around the coin, then the images or the letterings that you want to make in the coin remains as it always was, which again, as we had assumed in the previous Gemara's discussion. And obviously the halachic difference will be is that if you make a get with using such a type of a signet, then if you write it on, let's say, a metal plate, that's not going to be considered writing because that's what's known as chok teiches. You're only depressing the area around the letters, but you're not writing the letters itself. Then it would be invalid. Or asked Ravina, that maybe actually what ends up happening is that it gathers the form of the letters. Because although they both agree on how the die is made, the question is the mechanism, how does it work? In other words, when it depresses the area around the letter, Is it only pushing down the area around and the letterings remain as they always were and you're not really touching that? Or actually is it that when it's pushing down the area around the letters, it's also then it's also pushing inward to the form that leaves space, and thus by that force, it's forcing area into that cavity, and thus it's not just happening by itself. Rather, when you're knocking with the hammer, you're forming the lettering, because by depressing the area around it, it's also pushing it into that open space, and then you are writing it with your own hands, and thus it would be considered ksiva. So you want to know, how is it? Is it only depressing the area around it, and thus it wouldn't be valid for get? Or it's not just depressing the area around it, it's pushing down, and thus it pushes the rest inside that cavity, thus creating the letter somewhat. So on that, Rav Ashi answered to Ravina, Mechritz Choritz. It only depresses the area around it, which again, as we had assumed in the previous Gemara's discussion, and therefore it's not going to be valid if you use such a signet, if you use such a die for a plate of metal in the form of a get. Now, however, the Gemara continues with the discussion that we mentioned in the previous Gemara. Esvei, so Ravina asked back to Rav Ashi, but we had the following brisa. The brisa said, Lo hayik savoy, that the writing of the tzitz was not shekeya, was not pushed in, ela boilet kedinizav, rather the lettering was sticked out like it is on golden coins. Now, on that asks Ravina to Rav Ashi, v'isal gadai dech mechutz charetz. Now, if you would assume the way you said, that the way that this forming works on the golden coins is that it only depresses the area around it, but as we continue on Talmud Beis, habeina mechtiv, but the problem is that tzitz had to be, as the pasuk says, a writing of petuchei chaisam, of an engravings of a signet. Now, v'leka. Now, if you're saying it's exactly like it was by golden coins, and golden coins is chak taichais, it's not touching the lettering itself, it's just depressing the area around it, so, but you need to have writing by the tzitz, and you're saying the tzitz was like golden coins, and you're telling me that chak taichais, which was this mechritz charetz, is not writing. So that the Gemara answers, as we said in the previous Gemara's discussion, kidin rezav, v'loy kidin rezav. So he answered him, he says, no, when the Braisa says it was like golden coins, in some aspect, but not totally, where kidin rezav, the bailet, when it was comparing it to golden coins, is that the lettering stick out. But v'loy kidin rezav, but not exactly kidin rezav, because the ilu hasam migavoy, because although by the golden coins, by the dinarim, there, it's from the inside, meaning when the one who is pushing in the form into the golden coin is doing it on the side where the lettering stick out. So how does it stick out by doing the form? Because it's just depressing the area around it. But bahacha, here by the tzitz, the pressing, the pushing in is mi'avroi, is actually from the other side. And then that makes it stick out from the inside, meaning from the side which is where the letters are. That's considered writing. Because here you're pushing, what are you pushing in? The letters themselves, who are then sticking out on the other side. That's considered writing because you're affecting the letters themselves in contrast to the din rezav, and that's why it's not difficult. Regular coins are mechritz charetz, but the tzitz was not exactly like din rezav. It was only like it in the sense that the letterings stuck out themselves and weren't depressed. The Gemara continues in a related discussion. B'yimenei Rava Merav Nachman. Rava asked from Rav Nachman the following question. Kasav lo get al tas shalzav. Like we were discussing now regarding writing a get on a metal type of a plate. So Rav asked from Rav Nachman, let's say he writes or a get on a plate of gold. V'amar lo hiskabli gitech v'hiskabli kesu basech mahu. And he tells her, not only do I want this to function as a get, which I wrote the whole text of the get on this golden plate, I want it to function as the receipt of the ksuba that I owe you when I divorce you. Now, Taisa explained what's the question, meaning obviously the question is relative to the fact that the paper itself, which is this golden plate, is not functioning as a get. It's functioning as a receipt of a ksuba. So in a sense, the letterings have no paper because he's not giving it to her in the context of a get. But on that, Taisa's wonders, what do you mean? We already explained previously that even if he writes her on a piece of paper that's isra hano, that you can't have any pleasure from, still it's going to be kasher. So who cares that the plate that is being written on is functioning not as a get but as payment for a ksuba? Who cares? It doesn't have to have any value as a get when she receives it. On that, Taisa explains what the question is based on is, yeah, even though he's writing to her on isra hano, but at least he's giving it to her in the context of a get. She just can't have any pleasure from it. Now, however, that stands in contrast to the case that Rav is asking for Rav Nachman, where He's not giving a Torah at all in the context of a get. It's in the concept of payment. Maybe there it's going to be different because ultimately she's not getting anything that the words are written on because it's not coming in the context of a get. It's coming as a context of payment. But Amalei, Rav Nachman responded to Rava that it's okay. Neskabla Gita of Neskabla Ksubasa, she receives her get and she receives her ksuba because although it's being given as payment, but ultimately it's also serving as the paper, as the platform for the writings of the get, and therefore it is a valid get. Now on that Eisvei, the Gemara asks from the following Braisa on Rav Nachman. The Braisa says, Hiskabli Gitech Vashalik Subasech. If a husband tells his wife, look here, receive your get. Now the rest of the value of this, let's say it's a golden plate also, the rest of its value should be used for the payment of your ksuba. So says the Braisa, Niskabla Gita, Vashalik Subasa, so that's the halacha. She receives her get, she's divorced, and the rest of its value, besides where the words of the get are written on, will be utilized for the payment of her ksuba. Ask the Gemara, Taima de Ikar Shar, the reason why there it's going to be valid is because it's talking about the rest of the plate, meaning the words are written in one place, but then you have the whole margin area that's being used as the payment for the ksuba. Haleka share loy, but if there was no other area, meaning that then if you only have the placement of the get itself, then that wouldn't be considered a valid get. Because the halacha is, seemingly from the Braisa, that in the place of where the get is being written, you have to give that plate which is holding the letterings of the get itself, of those words, as a complete gift in the context of gerushin, of divorce, not as payment. Because the logic would be, it says v'nosin, you have to be giving her at least the get itself. Here you're not giving it to her because the plate that the words are written on are being given as a ksuba according to what Rav Nachman's halacha. Seemingly the Braisa refutes it. It only works regarding the rest of the plate. So the Gemara answers, no, it's not difficult under Rav Nachman. Hu adin avagav de lekashah. The truth would be that it would be kosher as a get, like Rav Nachman said, even if it's not just the rest of the plate. Even if the value of the ksuba is even in where the plate where the words are written on itself. Now, so then why does the Braisa say specifically a case where he says the rest of it for his ksuba is coming to tell us to the other way. The afagav the ikashar, even though it's a huge plate and there's other remnant parts besides where the get is written on, it's only, and that's what the Braisa is stressing, only if he tells her that the rest of it is being utilized for the payment of your ksuba, that's in. That's yes when it's going to be valid, not only as a get, but a payment for a ksuba. Eloi, eloi. But if he doesn't tell her that the excess of this metal plate is being utilized for the payment of a ksuba, then it won't be used for her payment of a ksuba. And she could actually hold on to the plate and keep it for herself, all in the context of a get. And it's like she didn't receive any money for a ksuba. My time, what's the reason? Because avira, the ear, meaning the margin of the megilta of a scroll, who, that's what it is. Meaning, it's considered part of the get that she got, and therefore the chiddush is actually the other way. You don't have to say sha'ar. It could even be the place where the words are written on itself could function both as a get and as a ksuba. Here that it says the rest is to tell us because only that he told her that it should function as a ksuba. But if he didn't, even if there's other remnant parts which are not necessarily the get itself, still it's considered hers because it's considered the margin of the get which she received from her husband and she could keep it. A related discussion, the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, learn the Braisa. Hareza gitach v'han yorshali. Let's say a husband tells the wife, look, this is your get and I'm giving you, but the paper is mine, meaning I'm holding on to the paper. That I'm not giving you, but the get I'm giving you. Says the Braisa, einem gereshes, so she's not divorced. Because if the paper is his and that he never gave her, so he didn't give her anything. Because it's almost like as if letters are flying in the ear. Because, yeah, I just want my paper to function as a holding space for the letters. What does that mean? You can't give her letters. You have to give her a piece of paper which have letters inside of it. If he's saying he's holding on to the paper, he didn't give her anything. There's no benosin and she's not divorced. Now, however, if he tells her, because he wants to hold on to the paper, but he has to give her a get, and the only, let's say, paper he has is this paper. However, if he tells her, amanasha tachziri li asanyar, look, I'm giving you the paper, but only on the condition that after you receive the get from me, you'll give me back the paper. Then says the Braisa harizu mugureshes. Then she is divorced, but she has to give back the paper. And the reason being is because that's what's known as maltan amanas lahachzer. If someone gives a gift with the intention of it being given back to him, it's shma matana. It is considered matana, which is widely known in the context of giving a lulav and esrig, which is you can gift it to someone that's considered lachem, it's considered theirs, and then they give it back to you. So a momentarily gift is considered a gift, so it's like he gave her the get, and then she just gives back the piece of paper. Now, relating to this halacha that we said that when the husband gives the get to the woman, he has to at least give her a paper. It has to fulfill the nasan, although it could be not in the context of gerishin, or it could be isur hanah, but you have to be giving her something. Now, relating to this halacha, boyer papa asked the following question. Bein shita l'shita, let's say the husband tells the wife, look, I'm not holding the whole paper for myself, because then it wouldn't be v'nasin, and it wouldn't be valid. But between the lines, that part of the paper I'm keeping for myself. What's the halacha over there? Or bein teva l'teva, or let's say the paper between the words that I'm holding for myself. What's the halacha over there? Do we say, because ultimately he is giving her the paper which is beneath the words, hence he's fulfilling v'nasin? Or do you say that no, because ultimately he's not giving her a whole piece of paper which the get is written on, because he's maintaining the space of the paper between the lines or between the words? So the Gemara says, take her, let it stand. It's not clear if that would fulfill the obligation of v'nasin to say that he's giving her the paper, or that would not fulfill it because he's not giving her the entire paper, only the space underneath the words themselves. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this tekui, but v'tepiklei, we should be able to resolve Rav Papa's question that it's not going to be okay, not because of the halacha of the nasan, because let's say that we're not sure about if that's considered giving her or not, but let it be puzzle because of this sefer. The Torah tells us that he has to give her a sefer krisis. Now, the word sefer is written in the singular, which tells us, echaram rachmanam. The Torah tells us when you're giving her a scroll of a get, you can only give it to her in one scroll. But it can't be in two or three different scrolls. You have to write the whole get on one scroll. Now here, if you're keeping the space in between the words or between the lines, that means to say that yours is interrupting, which means to say every word or every line is like a separate scroll, because they're not connected, because the space between them is yours. So that itself should be an invalidating factor. So the psul should be not only v'nasin, which, okay, that might be a suffix, but should we answer Rav Papa's question from the word sefer? So I think my answer is loy tzricha de ma'ira. Now, Rav Papa's question is still valid, because we're talking about that the lines and the words are a little bit connected, because the lines are very long, and therefore, let's say, a lamed goes up from the bottom line to the top line, so they are touching, so even though he's keeping the space between, but we can see it as one safer, because ultimately, with the lamed going up and the kuf coming down, and you have those letters that are connected, therefore, it could be that it would still be safer echad, and therefore the question then is still, is it considered benosin or not, and therefore taker. Now the Gemara continues with, related to what we mentioned before, this concept of the margin of the get being considered as part of the get, but moreover this related to one of the halachas mentioned in our Mishnah. By Rabbi Bachamah, Rabbi Bachamah asked the following question. If there was a preconceived status of this slave, that it was his slave, we all knew it was the husband's slave. Now the thing is, the get kasuv al yado, but now there's a get, a divorce document written from the husband to the wife on the hand of the slave. The harehu, and now the slave is yotze mitachas yada. He's coming in. He's in her domain. In other words, she's bringing the slave with her to court to say, look, my husband divorced me with this slave, and look at his hand. You see that he gave me this slave, and on it was written a get, as our Mishnah said. When he writes the get, he can write it on the slave's hand, and he gives the whole slave to his wife, and that's how he divorces her. So the Rami Bachama's question is, mahu, what's the halacha going to be? In other words, let's say there's no edim esira. If there are witnesses who witness the giving over of the slave from the husband, or the husband shluchim, to the wife, of course we would know, they would check the hand that says, I am divorcing this person, that's my wife, and they see it's valid, and they give over the slave, of course she'll be divorced, as the halacha said in our Mishnah. But here we're talking about that there's no witnesses that witnessed the giving of the slave over to the woman. It's just that now he is in her possession. So the Gemara explains what the question is. Mi amrin do we say, aknui aknila, what's he doing by her? We always knew that he was his slave. Must be that he acquired his slave to his wife, he gave her his slave, and if he gave it to her, that's why he's in her domain, must be that he divorced her with that slave itself, which has to get written on his hand. Or the question is, maybe, hu minafshi ayil, maybe he went by himself. Meaning the master wanted to divorce his wife, but he didn't decide yet, so he wrote the get on his slave's hand. Then the slave just takes a trip, and he walks over to the woman and says, hey, look at this get on my hand, let's go. You're going to be divorced, and I'm going to be free from this guy, because we'll claim that he gave me to you. We don't have any proof. We don't know. Do we assume that the husband gave over the slave as a kinyan to the woman? Or do we say that, no, maybe he went by himself? So Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, what do you mean? He says, forget about this whole question about what do you do based on chazakas. You know, the presumption is that up until now we knew that he was the husband's, but there is also a chazaka of kol mashatachas yadei shaladim harei v'shalai. There's also a chazaka that says whatever is in your domain is considered yours. So we're not sure which chazaka is better, the chazaka de meikara, the presumptive state up until now, which was that it was his, or do we say the chazaka, let's say now, which is she has it in her domain? So on that, Rava says, forget about that. But typically, the ksav sheyachal is daifu. The whole question is, the point is moot, because the writing on a hand could be forged. You could erase anything on the skin. So if that could be forged, maybe there was conditions written in the get, and they just erased it and wrote over what they wanted to write. And we know a document is not valid if it could be forged. So forget about this whole point. Did he send him? Did he not send him? It doesn't make a difference because whatever she has is his. The only way the slave would be hers if he divorced her with the slave. He didn't divorce her with the slave. What do you mean a get is written on his hand? There's no validity to that. It could be forged. Now the Gemara wonders, what's Rava saying? Ula Rava, kasha masnitin. What's Rava going to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said clearly, aliyat shel eved. It said that a husband could divorce his wife by writing it on the hand of a slave and giving her the slave. We see that is kasha. How could it be kasher if you could forge it? So that the Gemara says, no. Bishlema masnit la rabba le kasher. Our Mishnah is not difficult to Rava because he would tell you, be'edei mesira. Our Mishnah is talking about when there are witnesses who witness the execution of the get, which the husband wrote on the slave's hand, and then having it being given over to the woman, and they read his hand. And moreover, Rabba Laza, our Mishnah would be going like Rabba Laza, who says that a get has to have Ede Mesira. So we're saying that it's a get kasher when you write on his hand. Okay, very good. Because it's what the witnesses of what's given over which created, not the witnesses signed inside the get. So although things could be erased, it doesn't make a difference. Once they see it, and they see that it was written with valid and then given over to the woman, that would create the get. We don't care that it could be forged because they know what happened and they're witnessing, they're reading it, and it's being given over. But according to Rabbi Bacham, it's definitely going to be difficult because, again, as we explained his question was that there's no Ede Mesira. And that's why the question is, we don't know, did he give her the slave? Did he not give her the slave? Who could claim that it's really theirs? And thus, obviously, that would be inherent in the question is, if she's divorced and she has the slave or not. But Rav has a good time with Rabbi Bacham. What are you asking? If no one was there to witness the giving over, well, then the get on his hand has no validity because it could be forged. The only way the Mishnah says that it has validity is because they were Ede Mesira. And your whole question is contingent on not having witnesses, having seen that the husband gave it over to the woman. So the Gemara says, Rav Bacham and Namu Lekasha. No, according to Rav Bacham, Rav's point would also not be difficult because although Rav says, what do you mean? It could be forged, it could be erased, and you could write whatever you want. Maybe there were conditions attached to it. On that, the Gemara says, no, we're talking about Bekseivis Kaka. It wasn't written with just ink on his hand, which could be erased. We're talking about that it was tattooed into his skin, which that you can't erase. And because of that, that is a valid question. It's not a ksav that could be forged. And then we're back to the question. So therefore, do we assume that the husband gave it to her, or maybe he walked over by himself to the woman? Now, the Gemara says, if that's the way we're explaining Rama Bachama, so hashtad the aslahachi, now that you have to interpret it as such, so masnitin la Rava namalei tikshi. So then, therefore, the original question we had on Rava, which we wanted to answer and said, oh, okay, there must be the Mishnah is talking about that this Edom is Syrian is going like a Balazar. The Mishnah is not difficult according to Rava either, because B'ksev is Kaka. The Mishnah would be talking about that it's tattooed in. That's why the Mishnah says that's a valid get. When Rava said to Rama Chama, what's your question? Of course, not a kosher get because it can be forged. He was talking about regular ink. So the Gemara says, okay, so my Havalah. So we validated the question of Rami Bachama, because it's not a ksav that could be forged, because it's tattooed into his skin, into his hand. What's the halacha? Do we assume that it's the husband's, because maybe the slave walked over by himself, based on that chazaka? Or do we say that, no, the chazaka is that it's the woman's, because look, what's the slave doing by me? Must be he gave me the slave, and therefore I'm divorced, and I have the slave. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we could clearly prove this question, because the Amr Shlakish, or Shlakish said, Hagoydrois, which is a term used for animals, because as the Pasuk says, Mamid Belamed Beis, based on the word gidrei tzayin, because they're fenced in, the flock is fenced in a pen, so that's why they're called from the word of geder. So the gidrei animals, ein lohen chazaka, there is no chazaka for someone that has it in his domain. In other words, if let's say someone grabbed it from someone else, he cannot claim to the owners, wait a second, why do you think I have your thing? Obviously you sold it to me. No, on that, the original person who had the chazaka, who had what's called cheskes marakama, he could say, what do you mean? It's in your domain? The animal walked by itself. What proof does it have that it's yours? In other words, a watch or something that doesn't move, say, look, what am I doing with it? If I'm holding something, generally that's the assumption that whatever is in my hand is mine. So it must be there's a chazaka that I purchased from you. But by an animal, there's no proof. Maybe the animal just walked in your domain. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that's the same concept that applies to an eved. The eved maybe walked over by himself. What proof is it that he's by you, that I gave him to you? Maybe he walked over by himself. Things which are in my possession, how'd you get it? We're not assuming that you stole it. Must be I gave it to you. But the slave could have gone over by himself, and therefore the Gemara concludes that we don't assume that the husband gave it to the wife. Rather, we have to suspect that based on his chazaka that he always owned the slave, could be the slave walked over by himself, and therefore she's not divorced, and she doesn't have this slave. Now, a similar type of a question, also from Bayi Rama B'chama. Rama B'chama asked the following question. Again, also on the theme of Gittin, if there was a chazaka, meaning we know that it was, up until now, it was an established status regarding this tablet, Shehishalah, that it's hers. We knew that she owned this. Now, but beget kasab alahu. Now we see that her get is written on that tablet. Now, the husband is holding the tablet with the get, and he's coming to divorce her with this tablet. Maha, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains the question. Mi amrin, do we say, aknui aknisalai, that, again, there are similar words here, but this is a different question that the Gemara is asking. Do we say that, look, she has a tablet. Now, we know that he has to fulfill the chasav emenasin. He has to write the get, meaning it has to be from his assets, and then he has to give her that. Now, she knows that. So what she does is, but she wants to be divorced, and he doesn't want to pay for the get itself. So she takes her tablet, and she acquires it. She gives it over to the husband. He writes the get, and then he gives it to her. So therefore, that's going to be a kosher get. Maybe a woman doesn't know to do this. In other words, she didn't conclusively give it over and as a gift to her husband because she doesn't want to give it to her husband. She loves this tablet. Now, she just wants to get divorced. So she tells her husband, hey, take it, write the get in it, and give it to me. The problem is, it's always going to be and always have been her tablet. The problem is, we need venosan, as we mentioned previously in the Gemara. He has to give her something, has to be from his own thing. So the question is, when we knew that it was always hers, and now we see him coming with her tablet to divorce her, what's the halacha? Do we assume that, okay, she understood to be maknet him, and therefore she gave it to him, so it's his, and now he's giving it to her? Or do we assume she never gave it, and it was always hers, and therefore it's not valid? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from a Mishnah Masechtas Idyos. The Mishnah says, Af hu heyit. He also testified, which Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, which actually the Mefarshim explain, it should say, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kahanim, he also testified, Al Kfar Katan Shehayu Bitzad Yerushalayim, regarding a small village that was on the side of Jerusalem, V'hayu Bitzakin Echad, and there was one elderly person over there. V'hayu Malvul Chob Ben Akfar, he used to lend money to all the people in the village. Now, V'kaitse B'ksav Yodei, he would write the document of the loan with his own handwriting, and others would sign. Now the sages became aware of what he did, and he said that those documents are valid. Now the question is, why are they valid? But we need, as Hashem told Yirmiyah regarding what he wanted him to purchase, that it has to be what's called a sefer mikna. It has to be a scroll of acquisition. What that means to say is that the makna, the one that's giving it over, that's selling the thing, which in this context is the borrower, he has to write the document. He has to write, my field is sold to you. And then the one who's holding on to the document, he holds on to that document, which, as the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin learns that this out from this pasuk. Now, similarly, the same thing would apply to a loan. The lender is one that holds on to the document. The borrower then has to write the document, which actually Tesis points out that what would be the the relativity of a document of a loan to a get, because a document of a loan is not the acquisition is not happening with the chalois. The halachic status is not being changed with the document. It's just being used as a proof. Rather, actually, Taisa explains that the proof of the Gemara is that we could assume that since this elderly person lent everyone in the city money, so they were also gracious to him too, and therefore they gave him gifts or they sold their fields to him. Now, where sometimes the acquisition of the field is only with the document itself. For example, like when he writes, Sadi Nesunalach, or my field is sold to you, then the actual kinyan is happening with the document. So therefore, it's also in regards to those other documents that he also wrote and other people are signing. So it's not just, according to Taisus, in the loans itself that he wrote to other people, but even in the sales of their fields or the gifts from their fields to him, where they're the makna, he was writing it and he was still holding on to it. Now, the question is, but we know from Yirmiyah that the one who's selling the field has to write the document. Now, Valeka, that's not happening over here with this old man because he's writing it from his own papers, his own parchment. So Elolav rather proves Abaye from this Mishnah Masechta Sidyas must be that we can infer from there that when this is happening, even though the one who's giving it is not intending for the one who's receiving it, meaning the seller, to hold on to it, he knows he's just giving it to him, this old man, to those people, just to give it back to him. So why is it okay? Mishum Damrin, Aknuyim Aknulu, we say that he knows this halacha, and he's totally giving it over to them in a total kinyan. They're acquiring it, and then they're giving it back to him. So therefore, that answers the question regarding the woman. Yes, although it is her tablet, but she knows this, and she's giving it over as a kinyan to him, and then the husband's giving it back to her, and if it would be a valid get. Now, that Amar Rav, Rav rejects the Raya of Abaye. He says, Umay Kosha, what's your question, as if you're proving from the Mishnah Masechta Sidyas? Dilma, I could tell you that maybe as we continue to talk about that Zakan Shani, the Yod HaLaknuyi, maybe an elderly person is different because he knows to do this Kenyan, meaning he's a Chacham. He knows a document would not be valid only if he totally gives it over to the one that's selling it to him. So therefore he conclusively goes and he acquires it to that person. But by a woman who doesn't know so much of this halacha, she maybe is not conclusive in her gifting it to her husband, and rather she's just lending it till he writes to get it and gives it back to her, and therefore that won't be considered a nusin, and therefore won't be valid. So there's no raya from that elderly person to a woman. Ela marava mehacha. Rather, Rava says, I'll bring you a different proof from the Mishnah Baba Basra. The Mishnah Baba Basra says, Arif, a guarantor, which is if someone takes a loan from someone else, he sometimes needs an arif, someone to guarantee that if that person defaults on the loan, he'll collect from the guarantor. So a guarantor, hayoytzi la'achar chisim shtaris, who he signs that he's going to be responsible after the iria on the document where the witness is already signed. So after the end of the document, the Arav writes in his own handwriting, and I am the Arav, and I'm the guarantor. Says the Mishnah Baba Basra, so gaiva, so the lender could collect from the Arav only minachasim b'nei chayrin, only from available assets that is in the guarantor's own estate, but not from properties of his which were sold off after that loan, which are called nechasim mishabadim. The reason being is because since his part of the document doesn't have witnesses, because he actually made the guarantee after the witnesses had already signed, so his guarantee doesn't have what's called a kail. People don't end up hearing about it because people only hear about what witnesses signed on, and they didn't sign on what he had guaranteed, so therefore it will have the halachic status like what's called a milva apeh, a loan that was just done orally, not in the shtar, which the word only gets out based on documentation with a signature of witnesses, and therefore you can't collect from the chasim mishabadim. The only reason why you could collect from purchasers after the debt was already made was because you knew about it and you knew that he had a creditor, so therefore that's a liability that you agreed to, but here they didn't know about the guarantor's guarantee, and therefore they wouldn't be able to collect the malva from them, but only from the guarantor himself. Now, but one thing that we see is that every single person, not just a zaken, like you said, a chacham, knows to acquire it to the person that needs the document. Even though it's yours, you give it to them, and a total kinyan to give it back to you. How so? Because this document, when the Arav is signing it, at a later point in time, it was already given to the lender. Now, how does the assets of the guarantor become meshubed, become that there's a lien on them from the lender, But as we pointed out before, we need a sefer mikneh. We need that whoever is being maknas something, like in this case, a shibud of the guarantor of the arif to the lender, how does that happen? Must be because when the lender gives the arif the document to sign, I am the guarantor for this, he gives it over totally as a kinyan. And then when the arif gives it back, he gives it back totally as a kinyan. So it qualifies for sefer mikneh. So therefore, similarly, we see from this Mishnah, Baba Basa says, Rava, that every single person knows the halacha, not just a zakin that's a chacham. Now, on that, I'm Rav Asher. Rav Asher says, still my kosher. What's your question to resolve the question from this Mishnah? The magavrishani, maybe a man is different. The yadilaknuya, because he knows, he's busy with commerce. He knows that this halachic relevancy of creating a kinyan to the one who needs to write on the document to create a shibud. But maybe a woman doesn't know. So El Amar Rav Asher, rather Rav Asher brings a conclusive proof, Mehacha, from a Mishnah on the next daf, Machav Beis Amar Beis, that says as follows, Isha Kiseves Es Gita. What ended up happening was, because of Iguna purposes, a woman herself would write the get, and then she would be maknit to her husband, because that's obviously what we see, that that's how they would do the getin. The woman would actually write it, meaning she would have it authored, and then give the fully ready-made get to the husband, and then he would give it to her. So again, that answers the question. And so too, the other way around, the ish kaysev es shivarai, the man would write his own receipt, meaning when he would pay up the ksuba to his wife, then he would write up the receipt, he would then be maknid to the woman, and then he would have it signed with witnesses, and then she would give it back to him. So she's giving him the receipt that, yes, you paid me. And the reason being, how this works is she'en kim haget ele b'chesama, because the validation of a get is only with the signatures. In other words, at that time, it was in her it was in his domain, because it was signed when the husband had it. So although it was really hers, but what we see clearly is that although it's hers and it's back hers again, but at the time when the get is made, it's when the signatures are signing on it. That's when the husband has it for that short interval. So we see that that's going to work as a get. How so? Must be because the woman is totally maknit to her husband for that short period of time and not just lending it to him. And that's how they would actually do this with their procedures of gittin, because the husband maybe doesn't want to invest in that, and therefore the wife has to do all the due diligence. But again, that answers the question that was posed by Rami Bachama. Even though we knew that this tablet was hers, we can surely assume that even the woman knows that she has to be maknit to her husband, and then when he gives it back to her, it's a valid get that fulfills the obligation of the nasan.